Okay, Shalom, everybody. Welcome back. As we prepare for Yom Kippur, so happy that everyone's able to make it out. I know it's a crazy busy season. The other night, it was the other morning actually, it was a Friday, and I was getting my 3-year-old ready for school, and he was talking about how today's Thursday. And I said, Nazi, it's Friday, it's Shabbos tonight. And he's like, it's like, what? That's so short. So that's the season. So tremendously appreciate everyone able to take the time, carve out a few minutes for us to learn together. But hopefully it'll be really worthwhile as we try to prepare for Yom Kippur by looking at the Yom Kippur Avoda. There's an endless amount of material in the Yom Kippur Avoda in terms of the depth, the breadth, the scope. So we're going to try to do in this year is I divide it up into two main components. The first part is we're going to take an overview of the Avodah as a whole. The goal will be to have basic fluency with what's going on, what are these things that are happening, what are we singing right now in the Avodah, what are we saying over here, just what is going on, so we have a sense of what the Kohen Gadol is doing and what we're talking about when we daven. And then the second part of this year is we're going to identify three major themes that the Avodah contains. As we'll go a little bit more in depth, we'll see how much time we have, if we have time to cover all of this. Three major ideas I think that we can also have in mind as we get to that part of the davening of Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur Avodah. So without further ado, I'll load up the source sheet. Let's see, can I share it in the chat? I know last week I was not able to. Okay, so we begin. And by the way, at least in the regular article master, the Avodah is page like 554 or so is where it begins. But as we'll see, 554 is not the place to start. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Avodos Yom Kippurim, really drives home off the bat the fact that at first glance, this is an intimidating piece for us to get a handle on. He just begins, Avodas Yom HaKippurim. You'd expect him to tell us, okay, what does the Kohen Gadol do on Yom Kippur? And kind of surprisingly, the Rambam tells us, But Yom HaTzom makrivin tamid b'shachar v'tamid bein ha'arbayim k'seder kol yom v'yom. He begins by telling us that on Yom Kippur, you bring the same classic tamid offering in the morning and in the afternoon that you do every single day. It's very strange. It's a bit of an anticlimactic way to begin. You'd think you'd start, you can imagine the trup of the person who lanes on Yom Kippur. B'zos yavo aron l'kodesh p'par ben makar l'chatas. No, I'm not going to try. That's not, you'd think you'd start with a special Yom Kippur piece. That's not how the Rambam begins. The Rambam wants us to begin by understanding that even though Yom Kippur is a completely unique day, it's also folded on top of the regular standard service. It's a very important idea for us, even just off the bat, in terms of appreciating that we don't have a religion where we have just one day that's entirely devoted to apologizing and kapara, and then the rest of the year we do what we want. Yom Kippur itself is fundamentally connected to every single day of the year. The regular system, the immense value of my morning tamid, my afternoon tamid, the regular consistent standards that we have, those also are there on Yom Kippur. And then the Rambam divides what happens on Yom Kippur into really three different categories. And for the purposes tonight, we're going to focus on the third. The first category, the healthily colored light blue category, is the daily routine. Here we have the morning and afternoon tamid. There also is the lighting of the menorah that happens every day, the burning of the ketores, of the incense that happens every single day. Whatever happens daily in the mikdash happens daily on Yom Kippur as well. That is piece number one. Piece number two, Yom Kippur is also, of course, a Yom Tov. So every Yom Tov has a Musaf offering. We're going to daven Musaf on Yom Kippur, right? It's going to be a pretty long davening. So the Musaf of Yom Kippur, it appears in Parshas Pinchas, and the Rambam tells us about that. That's the next level. That's the purple. You have a bull, a ram, seven sheep. It happens to be the exact same Musaf offering that's offered on Rosh Hashanah, which makes a lot of sense because we know that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are a pair. So they have the same Musaf offering. What's interesting is that Shmini Atzeres has the same Musaf as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, I'm not going to have time to talk about that now, but food for thought as we get to Shmini Atzeres, what is it about Shmini Atzeres that makes it have the same Musaf as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? But those are the two levels, the standard daily service and a Musaf service like you would have for any other Yom Tov. Depend what the Musaf is, depending on the Yom Tov, but that's stage number two. And then the Rambam says, stage number three, the Od Makrivin, Yesra, Musaf Zeh, now we can talk about the Yom Kippur Karbanos. And once we break it down in that way, we'll see, it's actually pretty simple to remember what the special, unique Yom Kippur component is. There's one bull, Par Ben Bakar Lechatas, that is going to be brought by the Kohen Gadol. In parallel, there is one goat. That is the chatas of the people, the Sa'ir Lashem. So we have two carbon chatases, one for the Kohen Gadol, that's a bull. One is a goat that's being brought by all the people. And then there are two other animals to remember. One is the famous or infamous Azazel goat, which is the twin of the chatas Lashem. We'll talk about that hopefully at the end of this year. And then there's also one ram, a personal Ola brought by the Kohen Gadol. We're not going to focus on that very much. So those are the three levels of Yom Kippur service. There's the regular, there's the Musaf, and then there's Yom Kippur. If we want to think of how we can just have a handle on this, so I think there are four numbers, as I was trying to sketch this out, that if we can remember these four numbers, we have these in our head, as we get to Yom Kippur davening, this will basically give us the keys we need to know what's happening in the Masa. We can go 5, 4, 3, 2, I guess. There are five sections of the Avoda. We're going to look at those in a second. Five major sections, although most of the Yom Kippur stuff happens in section number two. Four. There are going to be four times that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Three, there are going to be three times that the Kohen is going to say a vidui. Those times that we're going to bow down. I just go to the Machzor for a second. We have three of these, right? In the Art Scroll, there's one on page 560. As we have the Kach HaYaomer. So one vidui is going to be on his bull. The Kohen will say a vidui for himself and for his family. He would say, Ana Hashem Chatas Yavisi Pashati. Please Hashem, I have sinned, etc. Except he doesn't say Hashem. He doesn't even say Ana Adoshem. What would the Kohen Gadol actually say? He would say Ana Yudke Vavke. When he would say the vidui, he would say it out loud. He would say Hashem's name out loud. And that is when the Machzor says, when the people heard the Kohen Gadol say Hashem's name, and the Kohen heard them say Hashem's name, they would all bow down onto the floor. So that's why in the Machzor, we have one vidui on page 460, and then we have one on page 462, and then we have another one at the end on page 566. Those are the three times the Kohen Gadol says a vidui, and that's why we're going to be bowing down on the ground. I'm just going to scroll down for 1 second. I put the whole Avoda here in steps, and you can see this, right? All in the second major section of the Avoda. So he has the first vidui in his bull. He says a vidui for himself and his family. Then he has another vidui on his own bull for all the Kohanim. And then he has a vidui for all of Israel. By the way, why is it in this order? Why does he first say an avoda for himself? Say a vidui for himself. So the Gemara in Shuas explains, it's a very important concept. You can't atone for others unless you've atoned for yourself. So first he has to apologize and get Hashem to forgive his own sins. And only afterwards can he move on to try to help all of us. I think Rav Amital is quoted as saying that people, often people try to fix themselves and they fail. And so then instead of fixing themselves, they just try to fix the world around them. So Kohen Gadol, Yom Kippur, it's the opposite. First, he needs to take care of himself. And the Kohen Gadol is never alone. It's with his family. First, he has to take care of himself with his family. Then the rest of the Kohanim. And only afterwards is he going to take care of all of Israel. Those are the three times in the Machzor that we have the bowing as everyone hears the Kohen Gadol say Hashem's name. It's also really interesting to think about it. You know, often we associate sin, obviously, with failure. I haven't seen anybody discuss it, but just food for thought. I don't know if anyone else has thoughts to chew on. But isn't it amazing that, like, the holiest moment of the year for the average Jew who comes to Yerushalayim, that moment that he hears the Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem, declared out loud, and then they all fall down on their faces, It's not in a moment of pride. It's not in a moment of a particular mitzvah, of a particular accomplishment. It is specifically at the moment where we apologize. It is the moment of the vidui. It's the moment where we do tshuva. That's when we emphasize that we failed. Somehow that's the moment when we say Hashem's name out loud and everyone hears it and everyone bows down and says, Baruch Shem Kavod Melech HaSol Olam Va'ed. It's fascinating. The moment where we underscore our weakness and our failure and our need to do tshuva is specifically the moment when we get to hear the name of the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Fine, note, there's a lot written about that, but there must be something there, food for thought. So those are three of the numbers, five sections of Avoda. Four times we come into the Kodesh HaKadashim. Three times the Kohen Gadol says Vidui. And then the last number, two, there are two times the Kohen Gadol is going to sprinkle blood in front of the Aron. Why is that such an important number for us to remember, for us to have a handle on what's happening in the Yom Kippur Avodah? Well, if we turn back to the Machzor, what is this? This is when we have him saying, as it begins on page 4564, at least in the Art Scroll, when he says, V'kach hayamona, achas, achas v'yachas, achas v'shtayim. Yeah, everybody gets excited, okay? Avodah isn't going on and on. All of a sudden, we're saying something familiar. But like, what exactly is this? One, one and one, one and two. It sounds very nice. What is happening? All that's happening is this is the part of the Avodah where it describes the Kohen Gadol sprinkling the blood in front of the Aron Kodesh. That's why we have it twice. Once for his own personal bull and once for the goat of Bnei Yisrael. And what he would do is he would do one upward sprinkling. That's the Achas. And then he would do seven downward sprinklings. That's the achas, achas ushtayim. That's how he can keep track. Kohen Gadol probably has, he's pretty nervous. It's a bit of a high stress situation. So the way he keeps track of the counting, although there's a discussion if this is absolutely required, is with this achas, achas, viachas. That's all that's happening at that stage in the Masa. So if we look at the stages of the Avoda, we'll identify all of these. We said, five major stages of Avoda. First, he wears the gold clothing, the regular, and that's what he does, the routine activity, the morning tamid, the ketores, the menorah, and the regular carbon musaf, like you'd have for any other Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or a Chag. We get to stage two, he changes, he goes to the mikvah, and he changes into the special white garments of Yom Kippur, and that's basically when all of the action happens. All right, so we have one vidui, two viduis, three viduis, and that's when we're going to bow down. I bolded the four times the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim. The first time he goes is to offer the ketores, which we'll talk about a little bit later. The second time he goes in is to sprinkle the blood of his own bull. That's our first time in the Machzor when we have the achas, achas, v'achas, achas, ushtayim. The third time he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim is when he has the blood of the goat, and that's for all of Bnei Yisrael. And that's the second time we have the Achas, 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 Ushtayim. And then the last time he goes into the Kodesh HaKadashim, after he's done all of the Avoda, and he's brought all of the Karbanos, the Yom Kippur Karbanos, the Musaf Karbanos, the regular daily Karbanos, at the end he has to come back to take the ladle and the shovel which had the ketores burning in them. You know, good message for all the kids out there. If it's important enough to clean up, if the Kohen Gadol goes back into the Kodesh HaKadashim to clean up after himself. So I should tell my kids who left the room that I'm in right now a mess. They should know about this idea. Okay. So that's basically it. That is the essential overview of the Avoda. Three levels: the daily, the Musaf, and then the special Avoda of Yom Kippurim, five, four, three, and two, five stages of Avoda, four times he goes into Kodesh HaKadashim, three times he says a vidui, and two times we're going to sprinkle the blood. You can notice, by the way, if you look a little bit more carefully, what happens here in stage two, which is where basically all of the action happens. So Rav Hirsch has a very important point. There's something kind of counterintuitive here. Normally, when you have a process, and there is no question, that this whole thing is a process. I mean, what other thing can we identify in the Torah where we have 25 steps? But normally, when they teach you how to tell a story in school, so, you know, we know how it looks. There's a building up and an ascent, and then there's a climax. You're not supposed to have the climax until close to the end of the story, right? But here, it's kind of surprising. The first thing the Kohen does is he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. I would have thought the halacha is Malin Bakodesh Ve'in Moridin. You ascend in Kedusha. You don't descend. Oh, we've had the whole month of Elul preparing, building up, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, getting ready for Aseres Yemei Tshuva, getting ready for Yom Kippur. I would have thought that the way the Avodah should work is the Kohen Gadol should build himself up to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He shouldn't begin with the Kodesh HaKadoshim. How should he start? First, he should bring his karban. He should go to the golden Mizbeach, which is at the first level. Then I would have thought he should go a little farther in and go to the paruche, the curtain dividing between the Holy of Holies and everything else. And then finally, I would have thought the climax should be he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Instead, it happens to be the exact opposite. First, he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with both karbanos. Then he goes out to the parochet, and then he goes outwards to the Golden Mizbeach. Why on earth is it in that order? Explains Rav Hirsch, what we are trying to emphasize is that Kohen got the Yom Kippur, it has a bit of a catch-22. In order for it to have the remarkable Kedusha it has to be one day a year. Achas b'shana, once a year, as the Torah says twice. On the other hand, though, and my Rabbi Rosen's like always likes to talk about this as well, it can't be an isolated bubble in time. The idea that we're trying to emphasize here is that we want that experience of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to then leak out and influence everything else that we do. So the Torah structures the Avodah that first the Kohen Gadol takes the blood of both Karbanos, his and the people's. And the postcard that I sent out for the Kollel talks about this. You can see how at every stage the Kohen Gadol is veering back and forth between his personal Avodah and the Avodah of the nation. Those two poles have to be constantly going back and forth, and then finally they're united. He begins in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he has to bring that experience outwards. He brings it outwards to the Paroche, which is the transition between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh. Then he brings it out to the Golden Mizbeach, which is used every single day for burning the Ketorah. And then finally, he emerges from the Kodesh in front of all of Bnei Yisrael. And what is he able to do at that moment? He comes out having taken that experience in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he's able to do what in many ways is the actual essential stage, the vidui on the Azazel goat, where he confesses and atones for all of the sins of all of Bnei Yisrael. So we don't just think of the Kohen Gadol having this isolated, personal, religious experience that he is trying to build up to in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rather, the goal is to take that experience and then bring it outwards step by step, as we see from the sequence of the Avodah over here. There's also something astonishing. We can notice that after he sprinkles the blood of his bull, and then he sprinkles the bull of Bnei Yisrael, then he goes back, he sprinkles his in the parocha, he sprinkles that of Bnei Yisrael in the parocha. The last stage, it's such a beautiful image. He mixes the two together, his own karban, and the carbon of all of Bnei Yisrael. So literally, they're mixed together into one cup after he kept them doing one and the other. The Mishnah even says he has to have two different hooks on the wall inside the Beis HaMikdash so that he can keep on switching off between the cups. Finally, there's a harmony between the two. They're mixed together. He sprinkles them together, and then he comes out and he says vidui for all of Bnei Yisrael together. He is not an isolated Kohen Gadol, him trying to help us. Rather, the moment when he atones for us, we've just been united. That gap has been closed. Okay, so I think we can just take a minute to digest. But that's basically it. That's the Avodah. If you take a look at the Machzor for a minute, it's kind of interesting what the piyut that we choose, the piyut of Amitz Koach. It's alphabetical. Most of Amitz Koach does not actually talk about the Avodah. I mean, it's you have like the story of creation. The piyut does not actually get to Yom Kippur until the letter Mem, really. It's like a buildup of the selection of Aaron HaKohen. Now, the world was messed up, and they sinned during the time of Adam, and they sinned during the time of Hevel and Cain, and they failed during the time of Noah. And finally, we have Abraham. From Abraham selected, we have Yaakov. From Yaakov selected, we have Levi. From Levi selected, we have the Kohanim. And from the Kohanim, we have the Kohen Gadol. This idea of different levels of Kedusha. We have a Kodesh HaKadashim in terms of Beis HaMikdash. We also have a Kodesh HaKadashim in terms of the Kohen Gadol. That is emphasized by Amitz Kalach. Then Amitz Kalach doesn't actually get to the Yom Kippur Avodah until like the letter Ayin, or really the letter Pei. So, you know, you have to, all of a sudden now Amitz Kalach has to like slam on the brakes. We have the letter Pei. Now, instead of one or two lines for each letter, we need, I think, four or eight lines for each letter. That's really what's going on. It's just Amitz Kalach is tracing this. You get to the letter Ayin. Letter Ayin discusses the first stage. Then Pei, you'll notice Pei through Shin basically covers stage two. And then the letter Shin and the letter Taf is going to cover the N, him sending away the goat. The Kohen Gadol reads in the Torah. It's the one time that there's a real mitzvah to hear from the Kohen Gadol lanes and everybody has to hear it. And then the Kohen Gadol wraps it up with his musaf, his own ram, that of the nation, afternoon time, it takes out the ladle and the shovel. And then one last section of Avoda, he does the afternoon Ketor rest, the afternoon menorah, and then he goes home. We sing Mara Kohen, and everyone is happy. It's like it's so anticlimactic. We end. You'd think that like we kind of describe Mara Kohen. The Kohen Gadol emerges from the Kodesh HaKadashim and everyone sings. That's not actually what happens. When would they actually sing? When would they celebrate? In the Beis HaMikdash? Once again, after the routine daily burning of the Ketores, the routine daily lighting of the menorah. Everything is trying to be folded in. We have the astonishing special Yom Kippur piece, but we're trying to fold that into our daily experience. We said both in terms of how the Avoda is taking everything out of the Kodesh HaKadashim, and everything is being bracketed by the regular Tamid and the menorah in the morning, and the regular Tamid and the regular menorah in the afternoon. Okay, so let's now proceed to identify, and here we'll delve into some more of the interesting lumdis, three of the really major themes of the Avodah of Yom Kippur. And we're going to see that this is not just, we're going to draw on the Gemaras, we're also going to see that these themes are very, really dramatically identified in the Pesukim themselves, in the parsha of Achrimos, the first parak of Achrimos, which of course is what we read from the Torah the morning of Yom Kippur. So we'll begin. The first one is going to be the need for a Kohen Gadol. The fact that a Kohen Gadol has to do the entire Avodah of Yom Kippur. We'll document this and we'll see what we are supposed to take away from it. We can tell it's something that's important because the fact that the Kohen Gadol has to do everything in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur is the very first thing that Rashi tells us in Maseches Yuma, the Masech that's all about Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur Avodah. The Mishnah begins by telling us that 7 days before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would be separated. He would go to the Beis HaMikdash. He'd move in full time to prepare for Yom Kippur. We're going to talk about that more in depth in a couple of minutes. And right away, Rashi lets us know, literally, first words on the page, right? Shivas Yamim, Yom Kippur, Mefrishin, Kohen Gadol. Shakol avodah shem kippurim eina kshera elabo. He needs to do everything. What is unclear is where exactly this is learned from and what exactly is the everything that needs to be done and what we are supposed to understand about this. The Gemara elsewhere, Maseches Yevamos, makes clear that it's not just that the Kohen Gadol needs to do everything. There is an astonishing halacha. No offense to any Kohanim on the Zoom. I am a Yisrael, so I have no vested interest in this. But if any Yisraelim here who are jealous of the Kohanim, you know, and the Kohanim, especially during Yantif season, they get all excited because they get to be the ones who walk out of shul and walk around in their socks doing Birkas Kohanim. Well, let's take them down a notch. The Gemara in Yevamos Lamed Gimel Amud Beis says there's one day a year where the Kohanim are the exact same every other Jew. And what is that on Yom Kippur? On Yom Kippur, the Gemara seems to say, some of the Achronim have different explanations for this, but the Mechasiach reads it straight and others do as well. The Gemara seems to say that the Kohanim during the rest of the year are just like a Zar. They are like a non-Kohen. Says the Menachas Chinuch, he thinks that if a Kohen, regular Kohen, does some of the Avoda of Yom Kippur, he would be punished the exact same way that a non-Kohen would be punished if he did the service of a Kohen. On Yom Kippur, not only does the Kohen Gadol have to do all the Avoda, he seems to be the only Kohen in the room. And the question is, how true is that? And why exactly is that the case? It's an astonishing idea, right? The Kohen Gadol is the only Kohen for Yom Kippur. How does that work? And why does that work? Well, as they did many times, let's first back up a second, and we'll see the debate between Balaram and Ramban. Rashi later on tries to explain where this comes from. It's such a shocking idea. The Gemara references it many, many times. There never is an explicit source. There are a couple of possibilities that are thrown out there. I'm not going to get into them now. The most fascinating suggestion, though, comes from Rashi himself on Daf Hey. Take a look at the Rashi. Rashi says, what's a certain pasuk under discussion trying to teach us? Writes Rashi. In the Lamed Shetiyah Avodah B'Kohen Gadol, if this pasuk we're talking about wants to teach us that the Kohen Gadol must do the Avodah on Yom Kippur, halo kol ha-parsha ba'aro nemra. I don't need a special pasuk, a special drasha to teach me that. The entire parsha of Achrei Mos is addressed to Aaron. Bezos yavo Aaron, v'nasan Aaron, v'hikriv Aaron, uba Aaron. What is Rashi talking about? Rashi is pointing out that if you go through the Achrei Mos psukim, I put this in small print here to fit on the page, but all I need to see is the highlight. The psukim refer to Aaron again and again and again. But I think it's 9 times, right? 9 times in only 23 psukim, we have the Torah talking to Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. I get it. I know it's Aaron. Okay? You just told me at the beginning. Talk to Aaron. The Torah could have said, Daber al Aaron achicha, and tell him to do X, Y, and Z. It's not how it happens. The Torah obsessively returns to Aaron HaKohen, explains Rashi, this is the Torah telling you, I don't need a drasha. It's just the psukim. How do I know the Kohen Gadol needs to do everything? Because the Torah tells me the Kohen Gadol needs to do everything. That's why it refers to Aaron again and again and again and again. Now, you might notice that there's a dry spot here. This is really interesting because it's very counterintuitive. Notice you have all these Aarons, and then you have a drought, and then you have Aaron resume. What happens? Aaron's name appears as long as he is preparing to enter the Kodesh HaKadashim. Here are the karbanos Aaron has to bring. Here's the clothing Aaron has to wear. Aaron approaches the Kodesh, the Mishkan. He does a lottery on the goats. He says a vidui for his bull. As soon as he enters the Kodesh HaKadashim, his name disappears. Behevimi b'risa parochas. He brings the Ketores in. Aaron's name disappears. It doesn't come back until he leaves. And then as soon as Aaron leaves the Kodesh HaKadashim, all of a sudden his name comes back. When Aaron comes to the Sar Lazazel and he says the Vidu, he atones for all Bnei Israel, all of a sudden his name comes back. I'm just going to scroll up for a second to where we had those different stages of the Avodah to show you where the name of Aaron disappears. We have Aaron throughout here. As soon as we get to number 9, the second he enters the Kodesh HaKadashim, his name disappears. And when does it come back? As soon as he emerges from the Mishkan, it comes back in step number 16. Why is that? If the whole Avodah is directed towards Aaron, why does his name not appear during the core of the Avodah itself? And the idea seems to be that when you come face to face with HaKadosh Baruch, when you are in the Kodesh HaKadashim in front of Hashem like that, there's no personal identity. There's no room for any personal ego. It's not about me anymore, right? It's not about me, Aaron, my ego, my issues. It's Aaron, maybe him representing Klal Yisrael, but it's definitely not the personal ego of Aaron when he comes in front of when he comes in front of the Rebbe. Sukkim seems to be referencing that to us over here. Definitely more food for thought on that part, but just something that I wanted to point out. We can maybe think about over the next couple of days. So we have this halacha, this astonishing halacha. The Kohen Gadol needs to do everything. And it seems like any other Kohanim don't even have the status of a Kohen. They feel like a non-Kohen, like a czar. Rashi says, it's because the Torah addresses everything to Aaron. Why is that? So we'll just look at the two basic perspectives. One comes from the Baal HaMar, and one comes from the Rambam. We'll skip the Rambam, we'll do them a different time. The Baal HaMar yells at all of the piyutim. The Baal HaMar would correct our machzor, actually. Our machzor talks about the other Kohanim having lotteries, who's going to do some of the assorted caretaker service in the Beis HaMikdash? Who, for example, is going to shovel the Trumas HaDeshen? Who's going to shovel the ashes very early in the morning of in the Beis HaMikdash? Who's going to schlep all the different parts of the animals to the Mizbeach to be burnt? Who's going to be the schlepper? Palomar says, you know, who's gonna clean the menorah? You know, Hanukkah, right? If you have the oil now, maybe it's different because they have the fancy pre-made ones. Back in the day, when you had to fill your own oil menorah, so you got the charcoal, and somehow it gets on your clothes, it gets dirty. Balmar says the Kohen Gadol does everything. He's got to deal with this stuff. It's not some other Kohen who does the schlepping. Balmar says literally everything, anything that's done in the Beis HaMikdash is done by the Kohen Gadol. So Balmar says, look at our machzor. If the machzor says they run lotteries, who's going to do the schlepping? That needs to be crossed out. That needs to be fixed. The machzor got it wrong. Art Scroll, Koren, the Gaonim with their ancient Piyutim, everyone is wrong, says the Baal HaMar, and others agree with him. Kohen Gadol literally does everything. The Ramban disagrees, as he so often does. He's quoted in the Ritva in source number 5. The Ramban says, no. Mida Oraisa, he says, on a biblical level, Ein Chova b'Kohen Gadol ela b'avodas hayom mamish. You only really need the Kohen Gadol for the core service of the day. It's unclear what he means by the core service of the day. If we go back, remember those three basic components that the Rambam pointed out at the beginning. There was the daily Tamid operation, there was the Yom Kippur Musaf, and then there were the special atonement karbanos for Yom Kippur. The Ramban certainly thinks that the Kohen Gadol does not need to do the daily tamidim. He says that black on white. On a biblical level, daily operation, that's the daily, okay? We were the whole big deal we made into the Rambam who said, oh, the tamid is folded in, it's part of Yom Kippur. The Ramban says, nah. The Kohen Gadol is only needed for the atonement. He's only needed for Yom Kippur Avoda. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of Soloveitchik from Boston, NYU, assumes that the Ramban also doesn't require Kohen Gadol to do the Musaf for Yom Kippur. He said, Avoda Sayom Mamish. That means the real core Avoda, the atonement of Achrei Mos, the Karbanos which require him to wear the special white clothing, the Big Day Levan. That's all it's talking about. So we have two radical poles. The Baal HaMar who says the Kohen Gadol is required to do everything and anything, the schlepping, the cleaning, the scrubbing out the wicks, anything on Yom Kippur. It doesn't matter how dirty or menial a task it is, it must be done by the Kohen Gadol. And then you have the Ramban who says, no, he's only required for the Avodas Hayom Mamish, the core service of the day. And these two different approaches seem to be assuming that the Kohen Gadol is required for one of two basic different reasons. The Ramban says, what's behind this idea that I need a Kohen Gadol? And any other Kohen somehow has the status of a czar, has the status of a regular Yisrael. What does that mean? So it's very simple. There is an additional level of sanctity. There's a higher level of Kedusha for the special Yom Kippur Avoda. A Jew, let's say, has Kedusha X. A Kohen has Kedusha X plus 1. And a Kohen Gadol has Kedusha X plus 2. So for Yom Kippur, for the Avoda, which revolves around the entry to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you require somebody who has the status of Kedusha X plus 2. That's all that's going on over here. We have a special sanctified Avodah, and it requires a special sanctified Kohen Gadol. The Ramban, though, disagrees. Sorry, the Baal Amar disagrees. And the Baal Amar says, no, the driving factor is not any specific service per se. After all, every day of the year, the regular Kohanim are the ones offering the Tamid and cleaning the Menorah. The idea is that Yom Kippur is a special day. There's a Kedusha to the day of Yom Kippur. And that is the day that the Kohen Gadol must preside over what's happening. Every other day of the year can be a routine day. Yom Kippur is not a routine day. Yom Kippur, that's the day to atone for all of Klal Yisrael. And on that day, everyone else fades in the background. And it is the Kedusha of the day of Yom Kippur which requires the Kohen Gadol to step up and say, I, Aaron, have to do everything today. This is not a regular day. And it's not just reflected in the fact that we fast, although of course it is. This is a unique day. There's a sanctity of the day, and that requires even the menial steps have their own Kedusha. I think there's a deep meaning to that and a message to that as well. Right? Given the setting we're in, even the seemingly routine can be infused with Kedusha given the proper time and given the proper place. The second major theme, all right, we've got one more to go after this. The second major theme, oh, maybe not. Sorry, 840. We'll try to do this quickly. The second major theme that I want to identify in the Avodah of Yom Kippur is there's a core tension in the Pesukim, whether the focus is on the atonement or whether it's on entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim and standing before Hashem. Just take a look at the blue and the yellow highlights we have in the Pesukim. You'll notice again and again and again, the word V'chiper or L'chaper appears. To atone. Atone, 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 atone. The day is called Yom Kippur. Makes a tremendous deal of sense. All of the special three karbanos of Yom Kippur, the bull of the Kohen Gadol, the goat of the people, and the goat to Azazel, what do they all have in common? They all are atonement karbanos. It's not a peace offering, a karban shlamim. On Shavuos, that's the day for the special karban shlamim. It's not a karban ola. It's not a burnt offering. The day is about atonement. And you see that again and again and again. But there's a second theme as well, and that is the idea of being before Hashem. Look at my outfit. Lifnei Hashem appears over and over and over again as well in the Pesukim. And even the way that the Pesukim are introduced to us, Hashem tells Moshe, after the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Avihu died, and they died apparently doing something wrong before Hashem, so Hashem says, here's what Aaron does if he wants to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Al yavo b'chol yisrael kodesh v'yisrael parochas. He can't come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wants. V'zos yavo Aaron el kodesh. If Aaron wants to come in, if he wants the opportunity to stand lifnei Hashem, here is what he is supposed to do. So these are two different ways of thinking about what happens on Yom Kippur. What happens on Yom Kippur? When we, and this is extremely relevant to us, when we walk into shul, are we coming to shul to say sorry and to try to achieve atonement for our sins? Or are we coming into shul because this is our golden chance, our one day a year, that we can stand lifnei Hashem? We can stand before God. We can stand before God. That this idea has a number of different ramifications in terms of understanding the Avodah. Just quickly point out a couple of them. The Vilna Gaon points out that the psukim here are very odd. You'll notice the word Yom Kippur does not appear in the whole parsha of Achrimos until almost the very, very end. Finally, in Pasuk Chaf Tes, the Torah tells us there's a rule for all time that on the 10th of the day of the 7th month, you'll fast and you'll have atonement before Hashem, and the Kohen is going to do whatever was discussed over here. Why wasn't Yom Kippur mentioned earlier? Vilna Gaon has other questions as well. Vilna Gaon wants to know, why was Aaron's name mentioned so many times earlier, as we discussed? Vilna Gaon wants to know, why at the end of the Parsha are we told, Vayas kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe? Why does the Torah have to say with fanfare that Aaron did as Moshe commanded? Like, imagine that Aaron's not going to do what he has to do on Yom Kippur. By the way, Nadav and Avihu are killed at the beginning of Nisan, when the Mishkan was dedicated. So Yom Kippur doesn't happen for another 6 months plus after the events, after this commandment is given. So the Vilna Gaon proposes that actually there are two different ideas. He says, Aaron HaKohen, and he quotes the Medrash, which talks about this, he could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wants. Aaron is upset. This new Mishkan has been built. My brother Moshe sees, talks to Hashem face to face. My brother Moshe can go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim whenever he wants. So Hashem says to Moshe, says to Aaron, this brand new Mishkan, Aaron also has Kedusha. He can go into the Mishkan whenever he wants as well, provided he does the following service. If he wants to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he can, but he has to come on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Very interesting idea. The Kohen Gadol has the opportunity to come to Hashem, provided he's not working for himself, provided he's working for the Tzibur. And then for all time, any Kohen Gadol, who's somebody else, he's not Aaron, he's not the founding Kohen Gadol, he's not the one who has Aaron's Kedusha, the brother of Moshe, he has this opportunity only on Yom Kippur itself. That's why he explains Yom Kippur doesn't get mentioned until the very end of the Parsha. That's why the Torah says, Aaron did what Hashem said. Meaning what? It says, that day, or the next day, as soon as Aaron found out, I can come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim as long as I perform the proper Avodah. So right away, he studied and learned the whole thing. Okay, took a regular Kohen Gadol days and days to master it. Aaron crammed it in. He was very excited. And that day, or the next day, he went straight into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But that whole analysis highlights and assumes that we shouldn't just be thinking of Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur Avodah as atonement, as apology, as getting rid of our sins. Yes, that is true, but there also is the second pole, and they go hand in hand, of being before Hashem. What is the line of Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah? Ashrecham Yisrael, lifnei miyatem mitaharim, before whom are you purified? Lifnei avichem shebashamayim. Standing in front of Hashem and being purified go hand in hand. I'll just highlight one other example of this that that the Rav developed. We have the burning of the Ketores, right? So there are a number of kind of surprising halachos. The Rambam here, I just quote the Rambam because he's the most convenient. The Rambam in source number 12 quotes a line which might sound familiar from the Davening on Shabbos. Chisar achas misamanei achayev misa. We say this after Enkel Okenu, right, with the pizza maketores. If the Kohen prepares a ketores and he misses one of the ingredients, that's a terrible mistake, liable to death by heaven. You'll notice, though, the Rambam, when he talks about the special ketores for Yom Kippur that's offered in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he says something different. Here he says, Chiser min haketores echa misamenea. He forgot one of the spices. O male ashan. Or he forgot the special herb which causes the smoke to really ascend. Chayav misa. There's something super important about the smoke for the Yom Kippur ketores. Who cares about the smoke? Why is this such a big deal? Why is the smoke so important? Oh, the Soloveitchik, in a letter to the Briska Rav, his uncle, so he has a very powerful explanation, and it comes from a different Rambam. Normally, every day, we said every day, Ketores would be burned to the base of Mikdash. Every day, twice a day, morning, afternoon, including, by the way, Yom Kippur. What is the mitzvah on a regular day? The mitzvah is just to burn the ketores. You ignite it, it goes up, and then you're done. The Rambam says explicitly, as soon as the first smoke comes up from the ketores, you can inhale as much as you want, enjoy the wonderful smell. There's no problem of benefiting from me'ilah, of benefiting from the Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah was accomplished. There's a general principle. Once the mitzvah is accomplished, you can benefit from something from the Beis HaMikdash. During the year, all you need to do is burn the ketores, and as soon as that first plume of smoke comes up, mitzvah's done, you can leave, you can go home. But when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the special ketores of Yom Kippur, it's a different halacha. Writes the Rambam, Umamtin Sham, the Kohen Gadol has to wait there, Ad she yismale habayas ashan v'yetze. The Kohen Gadol, after he levers his ladle and he pours the incense and it burns, he doesn't just wait for 1 second for the smoke to come up. He He stays in front of the Aron Kodesh. He stays and he waits as the room fills and fills and fills until the whole room is filled with smoke. And the Rav suggests that apparently the mitzvah, for the definition of the mitzvah for the Ketoras of Yom Kippur, is not the act of burning. It's not I have to do X, I have to do Y, I have to do Z. The real mitzvah of the Ketoras of Yom Kippur is for the Kohen Gadol to be there. It's for the Kohen Gadol to stand in the room. The Ketoras is the opportunity. As the smoke is coming up and filling and giving this experience of the infinite spread of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kohen Gadol just stands there in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That is the true goal of Yom Kippur Avodah, to stand lifnei Hashem. He just stands there. All the activity, all the habab, the key is that moment, bezos yavo Aaron el Kodesh, with this he can enter. There is such a value to just being present, having that presence, being there. Right now, it's just me and Hashem, the Aaron Kodesh, and me, the Kruvim, are right there. And the mitzvah is to just stand there and reflect on what it means to be in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Gemara has a line, the Rav does not point this out, but the Gemara has a line which makes this even more powerful. The Gemara says, when the Kohen Gadol, so he pours the incense, right? He has a fire pan, he has a pan of coals, and he pours all of the incense onto the fire pan to make the smoke emerge. The Gemara has a basic debate how he should do that. One view makes a lot of sense. The other view is how he paskin. What does the Gemara say? So he pours the incense, and then the Gemara says here, the third to last line, Vitsovra. He piles up the incense to a very, very tall pile. So you have all the glowing coals and then a tall pile of incense. Why? Kidei shehe ashana shohalavo. You want the smoke to come slowly. You want it to take a long time to burn. The Gemara brings a debating view. Yesh omrim mefazra. No, what you do is maximize your surface area. Spread the incense over all the glowing coals. So that the smoke goes up very, very quickly. That makes a lot of sense. You're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Baal Shalom has better things to do than to wait in front of you while your Ketores gradually, the bottom burns, the next level burns, the next level burns. Let's go. You are allowed in there once a year. You're not supposed to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Do this as quickly as possible, says the second view. Spread it out, get the smoke up, and then leave. How dare you stay and remain? But the first view, the view that we paskin like, right? You see the little Ein Mishpat. That's the Rambam says, we paskin this way. He says, no, the exact opposite. When you have the chance to be in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to be in front of Hashem, we hold on to that moment. Hashem lets us in the room. He opens the door. You don't just run in and out. He wants us to be there. Stay there. Stay there. So the Torah, the mitzvah is to stay until the smoke fills the room. And the Kohen Gadol burns it in such a way that it takes as long as possible for that to happen. He is trying to maximize and trying to hold on to that moment of being lifnei Hashem. And it's such an important message for what Yom Kippur is about. It's not just about kapara. It's not just about atonement and al chet and I'm sorry. And yes, of course, that's definitely there. But it is the fact that we have the opportunity to come to shul and stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We get the chance to do that. And of course, when we have the chance to do that, we need to be saying we're sorry. There is a reason why. The only time the Kohen Gadol is allowed in on Yom Kippur is when he's engaged in kapara. There is a reason why. The only time that we hear Hashem's Yud Kei Vav Kei and bow down on the floor is when we're engaged in kapara. That's the sanctity and the kedusha of tshuva. We shouldn't just think of tshuva as a task and a responsibility. It's an opportunity and it is a road directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam. One last idea about the Avodah, and with this we'll close. Let's just talk about those two goats, the Yom Kippur goats. One goes all the way in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and one goes all the way out to Azazel. Now, what is Azazel? So, all right, there is much discussion about this. The Ramban, Ibn Ezra, or the Ramban, who focuses on the idea of Azazel being a personality, a certain demonic power. Should be aware, though, the mainstream view of the Mefarshim is that Azazel just refers to a barren wasteland. That's what Rashi says. Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says, what's the idea of the Azazel Azazel? It's a goat which is so contaminated, as it were, with our sin, that it just has to be taken out to the farthest, most barren land imaginable. The Sefarno says that's why the Sar Lazazel, the goat which is sent out, actually renders the person who takes it away tameh. The pasuk says, whoever took the goat out to the wilderness and to be flung off the cliff, when he has to go to the mikvah and he has to wash his clothes, it literally like radiates tumah. But Rav Hirsch, once again, has an essential point. The way, and you see here, how does the Torah present the two karbanos? Shnei si'iri izim l'chatas. Two goats for a chatas. Now, what does it mean, two goats for a chatas? So one way you could say, oh, two goats, but of them, only one is a karban chatas. Rav Hirsch says that's not the idea at all. This literally is a single carbon chatas of two goats. One chatas idea, he says, which is represented in two different ways. And why is it so important for these two goats to be the exact same? They have to look the same. They have to have the same value. They have to be brought together. The only thing that divides one from the other is a lottery. One happens to be given to Hashem. One happens to be given to Azazel. The first says, we want to emphasize that on Yom Kippur is a day of radical choice. And there is the way of being Lifnei Hashem, there's the door of going all the way in front of Hashem, all the way in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. The other door is the radical opposite. We don't look for any mushy middle on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the day of maximum ambition. So you can think about it. One goat, one that's shechted as a chatas, not only is it, doesn't just go to the regular Mizbeach, it doesn't just go to the Mizbeach Hazav, it goes all the way into the Kodesh HaKadashim. It is only touched by the Kohen Gadol himself. While the Sire Lazazel, it's sent all the way out to a barren wasteland. It's the only thing which is explicitly done by somebody else. The only other person involved besides the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is the Ish Iti, the man who takes away the goat to Azazel. And while the Kohen Gadol has to be the purest of the pure, the Sire Lazazel contaminates the person who moves it. We think of Yom Kippur as a day of two radical choices. Of course, the goal for all of us is to embrace door A, to embrace the door of being Lifnei Hashem. So just to wrap up and conclude, we overviewed the whole Yom Kippur Avodah. If you have the source sheets, hopefully that could be something to help. Let's keep in mind those four numbers, right? 5, 4, 3, and 2, five sections of Avodah, four times going to Kodesh HaKadashim, three viduys, two sprinklings of the Aron. We've unlocked the mystery of what we're going to say in Yom Kippur. And then we have three different ideas to really hold on to as we think about the Avodah. Idea number one being the special sanctity of maybe of the service, but really the day. Not all days are created equal. And that is what requires maybe the Kohen Gadol. He has to step up for that day, as do all of us, right? The second idea, the idea of Yom Kippur, not just being a day of atonement, but also being a day of being Lifnei Hashem, being before Hashem, the central mitzvah, the experience the Kohen Gadol has as he brings the Ketores in, and as slowly as he can, lets the smoke emerge. We try to hold on to it to savor those moments in shul on Yom Kippur. We're not just looking at the clock the entire time. And finally, the two goats and the dramatic choices that they represent, and the one Amir Hashem, which all of us are going to jump onto, the choice of the Sar Lashem. So thanks everyone for coming. Wish everybody a Gemar Chasima Tova, a wonderful year of health and bracha. And Amir Hashem, looking to look forward to learning more soon.
Thank you. Gemar Chatima Tova. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.